This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's because God is here. And when we come together in faith to be with Him, He says, "There I am with you, in the midst of you." And He works in our hearts. He works... in our physical bodies, He works in our minds, and we started to explore this mystery of church and God's heart for church. What does God want us to be when we come together in His name? And one of those things is simply this: to be together, to be in unity, but not just in unity, but also in function. That we are together in one heart, one mind, but that we're also serving one another, working together in the gifts and the calling that God has given us. So God's heart is to gather together His people, but also to empower us to serve one another through the gifts that He has given us. And then last week we shared about prayer. God's heart for church is that we should pray together. And I want to thank you for those who came Tuesday morning. We were 32 people. And there was actually two kids, which I didn't count. We should count them too. But I would encourage you to join us on Tuesday mornings as we put out our faith for 100 people on a Tuesday morning from 6 to 6:45. But bring your children if they're up that time in the morning. But today I want to share on another aspect of church, something else that is in God's heart for church. And this is probably the most important thing, one of the most significant aspects of church, what makes it unique and different when we come together. It's something that grows in us. Whenever God is truly known and pursued and followed, this is something that grows in and through us. It's the growing manifestation of God in and through us. It is how the world will know that we follow Him. It is the essence of who God is. Without this, church means nothing. We can have great sermons, big numbers, and awesome miracles. But if we don't have this, church means nothing. This is the essence of the gospel. This is the reason why God sent His Son. And this thing can be summarized in one word. It's a powerful aspect of who God is. It's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." This is God's motivation for sending His Son. This is the essence of who He is. This is what His heart is for church. This powerful word called love. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 17 is, you should know it by now, "For God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." God's heart for sending His Son is love. God's heart for church is love. God's heart for us is to love. And this is what I want to share with us this morning. In 1 John 4, verse 16, we read, "And we have known and believed the love of God, that love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." This is such a powerful revelation of who God is. Not just that He loves us, but when we love, He abides in us. And this is what I want us to focus on this morning, I believe, is just to ask God to open our hearts, of our understanding, of our spirits, just to embrace God's heart. In 1 John 4, verse 8, He says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Jesus was once asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered, even though it was a, and this is what I love about Jesus, even though it was a trap, He always knew this, but He answered always in truth. And the truth was so different to what man expected and what man was used to. Jesus came to break our understanding, break open our understanding of who God is. And here He declares in Matthew 22, "So one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him, saying, 'Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is such a radical statement that Jesus made. It's obvious that the greatest commandment must be that we must love God with everything. It kind of makes sense that the greatest commandment is that we, His people, must love Him with all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. But then God says, equal to this, like this, the same stature, the same weight, the same measure, is that you must love your neighbor also. And this is radical because God is saying, it's not enough that you love me. I want you to love the things I love. I want you to love the people around you. Because this is who I am. It's not enough to love me. I want you to become like me. I want you to be like me. I want you to love those who are around you. That's why God says in His Word, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you are deceived. Because you don't know God. So God challenges us here with this radical statement. And you know what? Church is not just about loving God. Church is about loving others. That's one of the reasons why we come together. Because we can be at home and love God on our own. But we cannot love others on our own. And one of the reasons I believe God wants us to be together is because He don't just want us to love Him. He wants us to love one another. Jesus, with His disciples at the Last Supper, He knew His time was running out. And Jesus spent this Last Supper with His disciples, and we know how Jesus stood up from His place and He took off His garment and He knelt before His disciples. He took a form of a servant. He knelt down and He started to wash His disciples' feet, one after the other. This is Jesus, the Son of God. It's powerful. It says He knows where He came from. He knows where He was going. Jesus was not confused about His identity. He was never confused. It was the Son of God that came to earth to humble Himself for us. Not to be served, but to serve. So in this final meal with His disciples, He humbled Himself, not just in word, not just in philosophy, but in practice. He took off His garment and He knelt before His disciples and He washed each and everyone's feet. And then He stood up and went back to His place. He said, you know, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so. Do you understand what I just did for you? I'm doing this as an example for you, so you ought to do to one another. And then Jesus said these following things. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the context in which Jesus speaks these words. After He's washed His disciples' feet and He stood up and He went back to sit at the table, He says, I give you a new commandment. And always when I read that, I remember the first time I read that, and it's like, or the first time I read it and God opened it up for me, the first question that came to mind was, what is the old commandment? And the old commandment refers to the law where Jesus rightfully said that you must love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you must love one another as I have loved you. And it's interesting, Jesus changed this neighbor to one another, and He changes as yourself to as I have loved you, which changes everything. It changes everything. I shared so many times when I got saved at the point of suicide and I hated myself. So the second commandment was not a difficult commandment for me. To love my neighbor as I love myself, I hated myself. It was not difficult. But then Jesus came and he said, I've given my life for you, and I give you a new commandment that you must not just love me, you must love one another as I have loved you. And that has carried me throughout ministry all the days of my life when I deal with difficult people. Sorry, some of you are. But then I'm reminded about how much God loves me. And all of a sudden, when I embrace that, when I accept that my heart is filled with His love for you, and I do not get offended, and I do see you at 6 in the morning and 10 at night, it doesn't matter anymore. Because I know how much God loves you, and I know how much He loves me. And something happens. It's not a decision that I make as much as when I make the decision that His love fills me, and it's no longer a sacrifice. And this is something that I believe God wants us to be as church. A group of people that come together that is different because we love the way He loves us. So let us love one another the way He loves us. This is radical love. He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This love that God was talking about is not just an emotional expression of a feeling. God demonstrated this love to us. He placed definition to this love. This is not God from a distance looking upon the earth and saying, I have compassion for you. I feel for your pain. I would so love to help you. No, this is God that became flesh and became one of us and lived amongst us. This is how God demonstrated His love to us. He didn't just define it for us in words. He expressed it through His Son. And we find this demonstration here in Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus humbled Himself to the point of death and death on the cross to demonstrate to us what God's love is. It's not distant. It is dirty. It is right there in your face on a highway, naked, where everybody can see. This is my love for you. If you ever doubt God's love, just look at the cross. Jesus didn't hang there because He didn't have a choice. He hung there for me. He hung there for you. This love is not just emotional, it's tangible action. This love is not just emotional, it is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Jesus was in the garden and He pleaded with the Father, my Father, my Father, if this is at all possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. It's a choice. It's a choice Jesus made. He chose to love us. He made a choice. Love is a choice that puts the other above me. And that's the way God loves us. He placed us above Himself. And this is what Jesus is talking about. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples. Not your great sermons, not your great buildings, not your great numbers, not your great miracles, but the way you love one another. If you love the way I love you, this is the way the world will know that you are my disciple. If you love one another the way I've loved you. When we love like this, serving each other, caring for each other, even sacrificing for each other. This is how the world will know. When the world looks at church, what do they see? Do they see more of themselves or do they see something different? Do they see fighting and division and squarrel and or do they see a love that is unexplainable? What do they see when they look at us? Jesus says, by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I want to go back to 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. This is like love is gone. And if you love, and this is not the world's love. The world's love is, what can I get? The world can also love, but the world's love is, there's always something beneficial. I love to get something. I love you for sex. I love you for money. I love you for influence. I love you for something. But God's love is, I love you because I love you. I love you at the expense of myself. This is nothing to gain. I have nothing to gain from loving you. I'm loving you because I love you. I love you for your sake, not for my sake. It's this love that God says, if we love like this, we abide in him and he abides in us because this is God. It's a love at the cost of, at the expense of, for the sake of the other. 1 John 4 verse 9, in the NIV it says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love has been made complete in us. This is a reoccurring theme. We must love one another the way God loves us. This is a challenging type of love. This is not a human love. This is not an emotional love. This is a God in me kind of love. This is a God that is changing me to be able to love like this. And whenever you surrender, whenever you follow, whenever you allow God to change, this is the kind of love that will come forth in us. This is God's heart for us as a church, that we will be known for our love more than anything else. We'll be known for our love for one another, the way we care, the way we serve, the way we give towards one another. This is the kind of church God is looking for. What is this love? How did it manifest? Well, Jesus gives the answer. The Word of God gives the answer. It says, this is love. This is how it manifested. This is how it was demonstrated. It was Jesus on the cross. It was Jesus laying down his life for his friends. Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. This is love. This is the love God is beckoning us to in the midst of this selfish, self-centered, individualistic, human rights, your rights kind of world. It's all about me, myself, and I. Jesus says, listen, yeah, this is the kind of love that I want you to have. You lay down your life. Lay down these things for your friend. This is the love that I've shown you. This is the love I want you to have. This is the love God calls us to. And when I accept Jesus, I'm not just accepting his love that was sacrificial and selfless. I'm accepting Jesus. And I'm not just accepting Jesus for what I can gain. I'm not loving Jesus for my salvation's sake. I'm loving Jesus because he gave his life for me. And I've always asked this question, and I'm fascinated by that scripture. Because if you read it carefully, God's love is not just meant to be received. I'm meant to be transformed by it. I'm meant to be changed by it. This demonstration of love, this demonstration of God's love is not complete the NIV and the New King James says perfected. It's not complete and perfected in me simply through receiving it. By receiving God's love, it's the beginning of a journey to be changed, to become more like Him. And I always thought is when God demonstrated His love, it is complete, it is perfected. The day I receive His love. But I realized the more I read Scripture, it says, no, it is the beginning of a process. It's only complete and perfected when I'm able to love the way He loves. And all of a sudden, I realize I need Jesus more every day. I ask Him, Lord, I want to know this love. I want to be transformed by this. I want You to teach me, show me this love. I don't have the capacity to love like this, but You do. This is Your desire. So Holy Spirit, I ask You, teach me, show me, transform me, that I may love this way. It's not just meant to be received, it's meant to be transformed by. And as God's love transforms me, all of a sudden we realize that God's love is not just for me. God's love is for others. It's not just for me. It's not just something I must keep and I must treasure. But it's something that I keep and I treasure that changes me so that I can love others also. And church is not just about you. It's not just about me. It is about the other. It is about us together. It is about us inside the church and outside the church. Because this is what Jesus alludes to. He says, this is how the world will know that You are My followers, that You are My disciples. This is how they will know. It's if you love one another the way I've loved you. This is how the world will know that I follow Jesus. This love is not just meant for us. This love is meant for the world. And this is so important for us as church to understand. We come together to worship and to celebrate Jesus' love for us. And as much as God has called us out of the world to be separate from the world, to be a holy nation, a priesthood to Himself, He hasn't called us out of the world so that we can be by ourselves. He's called us out of the world to be filled with Him, filled with His Spirit, and go back into the world. Because God loves the world. Not just us. He loves the world, and I don't want to go on, otherwise I'm going to go out of time. But I want you to understand, I trust that God will open our eyes to understand that God loves us so much, but He wants to change us with that love. And church is not just about me. It's about us. It's not just about receiving God's love. It's about being changed by God's love and sharing God's love with one another. This is how the world will know that I follow Jesus. And then the last part of this chapter, 1 John 4 verse 12. I want us just to read it again. It says something powerful. It says, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us. And His love has been perfected or completed in us. No one has ever seen God. I always say, there are two types of people that come into church. Those who love God, who know God, and they're looking for a community, they're looking for a safe space where they can grow closer to God. They are believers. And from time to time we get people joining our church because they're looking for a safe space, they're looking for a place where they can grow more. They're looking for a place where they can be vulnerable and where they can experience the love of God and grow in His Word. And they come into this place and looking for a safe environment. And God says, this is how the world will know that you are My followers, that you are My disciples. If you love one another, if you walk into a church where love is predominant, where love is real, where love is godly, you will feel safe. And as a church, we've grown. But then there's another group of people that will come into our churches from time to time. It's those who do not know if God exists. They do not know if God exists. And they come to church because they want to see God. They don't believe. And maybe it's a son or a daughter of someone that has been praying for years, for decades, for their child to come to church, to meet the Lord. And somehow by God's grace, the Holy Spirit draws him to a place that has the name of God, and they come to see God. They want to know. They want to check this out. They want to know if this is real. They want to see God. They're not here for the coffee. They want to know if God, they want to see God. But the word says no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. This is profound because it says, even though you cannot see God, if you love like God, God is in you and they will see God through us. And this is the purpose of love. This is when the demonstration, the sending of my son is perfected in us, in you, in me. It's when we are able to love in such a way that people can see Jesus through us. This is God's heart for church. This is what makes church different. This is a place where his people come together, not just to receive his love, but to be transformed by his love and then to love one another. In such a way that the world may know that this place is different. That meeting was not like the municipality meeting. Sorry, Stephen, he's not here. It was not like that. There was something else that happened there. And this is what I feel the Lord is encouraging us to do. And for those of you who have heard this sermon before, the question might be, why am I preaching it again? Because I'm really trusting that God will give us understanding. That we will understand not just his love, but the purpose of his love, that it will transform us. We know the parable of the sower. And some of the seed fell on the hard ground. And then Jesus explained what it meant. It simply means this. We can read it. I think I've got it here. Matthew 13. Let me maybe read it for you in case you think I'm lying. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When everyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away, so that what was sown in his heart, this is he who receives the seed by the wayside. And my prayer this morning is that we will have an understanding of God's love and the purpose of God's love. It's not just for me. It's to change me so that I can love others the same way. And it's when we start living like this as a community where we care for one another, serve one another, and even sacrifice for one another. This is how the world is going to know. And you know what is so amazing about this is attractive. This is what the world is looking for out there. They try to find it in sex and wealth and fame and all those things. And we have magazines full of people that have all the money, all the fame, all the power, and their lives are miserable. Because they don't have this. This is what we need to have. This is what God is calling us. This is God's heart for us as church. So my heart is that we will understand God's love. And that his purpose is that we must love one another the same way. This is what the wayside is. When we do not understand it, there's no germination, no growth, no fruit. But in the good soil. We read here in verse 23, but he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces 100 and some 60 and some 30. You see, it's when we understand it, when we embrace it, we allow God to work in us, it germinates and grows and it bears fruit in us. And this is really, I don't have a love-o-meter yet. But we do have a prayer-o-meter. Maybe next Sunday we'll have a love-o-meter. And that's why we have a two-minute rule. That's why we have a two-minute rule. If you don't understand it, it's going to be like a law to you. If you don't understand the heart behind the two-minute rule, for those of you who don't know it, the first 2 minutes after we finish the service and you have your coffee, your first 2 minutes, spend it with someone you don't know. And after 2 minutes, you spend it with all your friends. Because otherwise, church becomes little cliques. where we just love our friends. Jesus said you must love your enemies. So the reason we have the two-minute rule, the reason I'm preaching this is you might understand why we do it. The reason we do it, this is what God has called us to. And this is why I want you to be excited when somebody new walks through that door, because you don't know whose grandmother's grandchild this is who's been praying for 30 years for a son or a daughter just to come to a church, and finally he comes for the very first time and nobody greets him. Nobody sees him. Nobody cares. And he doesn't have the opportunity to experience. I would rather have a first-time visitor come in here and be hugged by 220 people. Freaked out completely. People that genuinely care, that choose to love the guy with the tall guy in the, what was your heart? Sorry, I don't want to expose you. But you knew. And you stand out because you don't look like us. I love it. Sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I love you, brother. And it's not difficult to say that it's a choice. It's simply a choice. I would love the whole church to hug you. That you'll be completely freaked out. You might run away and never want to come back, but you will know there's something different in this place that you've never discovered in a movie, you've never discovered in a rave. There's something here that's different. It's people genuinely care. They genuinely love. And that we are concerned about one another. When we hear someone is suffering, that we suffer with them. When we hear somebody's sick, we all go visit them, please. I cannot visit everybody. I cannot love everybody. Church is not about me. Church is about us. It's about Jesus. And it's more, it's about Jesus and Jesus in us. That is what church is about. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the leadership. It's about Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, then we're failing you. And it's about Jesus in us and through us. And when you know someone is sick, go. Please phone the office also, but go. Let your friends know. Let there be a queue in the medic clinic. Sorry, we can only do one at a time. Let there be a queue. All the nurses will get saved. Because they want to know who's these people. Or they will ask the poor patient for their autograph because they must be famous. I mean, there must be something about this person. I mean, that is what church should be like. We should care for one another. Because we choose to. This is really God's heart for church. This is how the world will know that we follow Jesus, because of the way we love one another. Because church is not just about me. Church is not just about us. Church is about those outside. That's God's heart. That's where this is all heading. Once we get it right here, God wants us to go out there. But first we need to get it right inside. We have to love each other. We have to take ownership of one another. I want to ask the ushers to bring out the communion. And I want us to take a moment just to reflect on God's love for us. The way He loves us. The way He humbled Himself. The way He lived His life. The way He gave of Himself. And ultimately, the way He died. This is God's definition of love. And yes, it is so difficult for us to love like that. That's why He gave us His Spirit. So that what we are enabled to do, what is impossible for man, is possible for God. If we allow Him in our lives, if we lay down the boundaries and the walls that we build. Oh, I love that boundary book. I'm kidding. I don't like it. But you can have boundaries. Don't misunderstand me, but just don't make it walls with barbed wire and spikes. And no, we're meant to love one another. We're meant to sacrifice. Go read Jesus' life and count His boundaries. Must move with compassion. Most of the times He ministered is when He told His disciples, come on, man, you didn't even have time to eat. Let's just get on the boat and go to the other side. And when He gets to the other side, there was another multitude waiting for Him. So He ministered. He loved them. Moved with compassion. Let's ask God in this time to help us, to change us, because we can't do this. We can't do this kind of love on our own. We don't have the capacity to do that. But what is impossible for man is possible for God. And this is His heart for you, for me, for us together, is to love the way He loves so that the world may see He is with us. So I want you to take an opportunity just to reflect on His love. This is what communion is. This is what communion is. We remember the way He loved us. And this morning I want you to ask God to help you to love the same way. Invite Him. Say, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will come and change me. That fruit of the Spirit, love. I ask You, God, that You will come and fill me completely. Lord, teach me, show me, change me. To be able to love the way You love. So let's do that as we wait for one another. I want you to take a moment and just reflect on His love for you and ask Him. Ask Him. Lord, I want to love the same way. I pray that You will teach me, that You will change me to become more like You so that I can love the way You love me. Let's do that for a moment. Anybody still need some bread? Everybody has a cup? Anybody we missed? Father, we want to thank You for Your love for us. While we were still sinners and enemies, You sent Your Son. Lord, You were willing to humble Yourself to come to us and show us how much the Father loves us. He came to show us what love really is. Lord, I want to thank You for this love. Thank You for laying down Your life so that we may have life. So that the riches of the kingdom may be out. Even though we were poor, wretched, naked, You exchanged our life so that we can be rich. Lord, help us never to forget this cost as we eat together. Lord, we thank You for what it meant, what it achieved, what it opened up. Thank You for this grace. Thank You for this mercy. Thank You for this hope. Thank You for this inheritance. Thank You for this destiny. Thank You for this identity. Thank You for this privilege. Thank You for this confidence. Thank You for everything that You've blessed us, every blessing in heavenly places. Every promise is yes and amen. Lord, thank You for this inheritance that we have entered into without achieving it or earning it. It's simply by Your grace. Lord, we want to thank You for this. We want to thank You for what this blood represents and means and seals. This covenant in which we stand with You. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and pour more of yourself in us. Give us understanding. Lord, give us fruit. Come and change us, Lord. Come and pour yourself in us. Lord, we ask for your fruit, your love, your joy, your peace, your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control. Lord, we pray that it will grow in us, abound more in us. Lord, I pray that as we abide in you and you in us, Lord, we will bear much fruit, not because of us, but because of you. Because in ourselves we can do nothing, but in you nothing is impossible. So, Lord, we bring ourselves as vessels to you, empty, Lord. And we ask that you will fill us, that you will fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you will shake us like you shake the building when you pour out your Spirit, that you'll give us love, supernatural love. Lord, I pray that you will give us more of you as we drink together in Jesus' name. Fill us, Lord. More of you. I'm going to be here for a moment. If you need some prayer, if you're struggling with this or you want more of this, I'm going to be here. I want to encourage you to spend 2 minutes with someone you don't know. If they look like a visitor, give them a hug. Invite them for tea, coffee, dinner. Freak them out. That's what we're called to do. Freak them out with love that they don't have anywhere else. If you know of someone in need in church, why not club together with the friends and help them? If you don't know who, we have a BodyServe account. That's what we use that account for. We have two accounts, the running account for our tithes and a BodyServe account for our alms. If you want to give to the poor, that's what we use that for. But I want to encourage you, don't just wait. If you see a need, meet that need. If you have means to do that. If you want to bless somebody financially in church, you see they're struggling financially, the best way to do it is to come to the church or make a donation in the BodyServe account with their name next to it. So if you put Jacobus next to it with their surname, and you phone us, you tell us, listen, I've donated 500 Rand, 1,000 Rand for your Quibus. I see he's struggling. I want the church to bless him. Then he's not obligated towards you. Because sometimes we give and then that person feels obligated to give back to us. It's far better to do it through the BodyServe account. Just phone us, tell us, this is for who the money is. And we will bless the person on your behalf without revealing who you are so that you may receive the full reward for your giving. But I want to encourage you, let us take care of one another. Let's start here with one another. Get to know one another. Care for one another. Serve for one another. And provide for one another. Those of us as means, let's not keep it for ourselves, but share. That's God's heart for church. I want to thank you for coming. May God bless you. 2 minute rule. I'm going to be here if you need some prayer. Otherwise, may God bless you. May you not just receive his love, but be changed by it so that you can love others the same way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.